Log Talk Radio.
Another week that he has allowed us to see, for another opportunity to share with you, another opportunity to come into your homes, your cars, wherever you are right now. We just thank God for you joining us, because God is so good to us. Let's just look to him now. We have a few fleeting moments to spend this time together, and we want to make the most of it. Lord, we ask that you would let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. Well, thank God for you. I always do. I thank him for you being with us, whether it's here live tonight or whether you listen to this broadcast through the archives. Whenever you have the time to listen to this episode, I want you to know that prayers have gone forth for you, praying for your strength in the Lord, and that God will speak to you in a special way. We have 30 fleeting moments to be together tonight, and I just want to share with you something God dropped in my spirit, that we can be thankful to him that our best isn't good enough. Now, that may sound strange, right? That our best isn't good enough, and that we're going to thank God for that, but certainly this is what I believe that we should do on tonight. Is just thank God, because oftentimes we come out of that place of, you know, wanting to just do our best for the Lord. And God is saying tonight, you don't even have to worry about that. I'm going to show you how it is that you're going to be able to please me and do whatever it is that I've given you to do. So I'm thankful tonight that our best just isn't good enough. The scripture that comes to my mind, well, there's several we're going to share tonight. But I want you to think back on Acts 4 and 13. And this was when Peter and John were confronted individuals knew that they were unlearned men, and yet they had the boldness of God. They weren't going on just what they had to offer, but they had the boldness of God, and they were showing forth that boldness. And it says that now when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and had perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Who is they? Those who were around, the Pharisees, the scribes, those who were coming against them, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. This was the thing that they were aware of, that, hey, wait a minute, these guys have been with Jesus, and there's something about them that overrides who we know them to be, because we know them to be unlearned men. We know them to be ignorant men. In other words, they weren't known for being, you know, well-educated or anything of that sort. And yet, they had to take note of them because they spoke with authority, because they spoke with boldness. And that was the thing that caught them. It says then when they beheld the boldness of Peter and John. And something about the Lord taking hold of our lives, he gives us a boldness that we've never had before, that we've never experienced before. Because you think about this, if we're going forth in our own might, in our own strength, we sum ourselves up by what we bring to the table, and therefore we may not have the boldness to come forth. You know, we may think about how we fall short, but the boldness comes from and through the Holy Ghost. And so that's what I'm speaking of tonight. That God is wanting to reveal himself to the world through the power of the Holy Ghost. And he certainly did that with these who knew him, Peter and John, as they spoke with holy boldness, and others knew and took account of how they spoke and what they said, that they knew that the ultimate power was to be found in Jesus and not in them. I want to call your attention as well to Matthew 8:10, that talks about a centurion. Now, this centurion, you got to think about this. He was someone who had power, someone who had authority, someone who had people under him. He could tell them to come, he could tell them to go, and they would do it. You can go there and read it for yourself. But this was a centurion who determined that he was going to put his trust in the Lord. And when Jesus heard about it, Matthew 8:10 says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What was it about him? He could have just banked on the power that had been given to him. You know, all power and all authority comes from God. Every one of our gifts, every one of our talents, all of our abilities, they come from God. But one of the first things I want to have us take note of tonight is that we have to get a proper perspective on the authority and the power that's been entrusted to us. I want to say that again. You and I must get a proper perspective on the authority and the power that's been entrusted to us. And that was what was happening in the life of this centurion. He might not have understood it at the time, but certainly he took note of the Lord and how the Lord had walked among the people. And, you know, the world, of course, looked to this centurion because of his stature, his status, I should say, his title, his position, his stature among the people. But nonetheless, he had to come to Jesus and submit himself and to acknowledge that Jesus was the one who had the power to make a difference and make a change in his life and in the life of those in his household. And when Jesus heard that, you know, that he realized that the ultimate power was in the Lord Jesus himself, when Jesus heard it, he marveled at that. Even though all power comes from God, this is what causes us to be exalted, is when we realize that everything we have, all power, all authority, all influence, it comes from God. And this one, received accolades from Jesus, if you will, because he believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And because he did, he experienced the power of God in his life that day. God touched his loved one that day, and it was his faith that caused the difference. You know, God, in turn, got the glory. So what I want us to think about is giving that proper perspective to the authority and the power that's been placed in our lives. I'm grateful tonight that our best isn't good enough. And I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. But what God has deemed for us and what God has spoken over our lives is going to require us to be humble, you know, because others may be impressed by what they see in terms of what God has deposited in your life. They may be impressed about how you can, say, share the word, or how you lay hands on the sick and they see them recover, or how you can prophesy and what you say does come to pass. You know, all these things, but we know that they come from God. Even our status, I'm talking about just in the world system itself, we have to understand that all authority, promotion, it comes from God. It doesn't come from the east or the west. You know, our abilities are great. You know, that's good. God equips us. God blesses us. But at the same time, it's going to require us to be humble and realize that, listen, Lord, even my best, in other words, what I bring to the table, no matter how gifted I am, no matter how talented I am, is not good enough. It's going to take the power of the living God to make the difference in my life and through my life so that I'm touching others. Everything that we have comes from God. Why do you think the Lord said that it would be hard for those who were blessed with riches in this world to be able to experience the kingdom of God? He's not talking about in the sweet by and by, but he talked about in Matthew 19 and 24 that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, we won't go way into that, but the eye of the needle had to do with the camels having to kneel down and go through the small opening of the city to get into it. And it wasn't easy, oftentimes. That was not easy. But the thing about it is, the more that we accumulate in this world, you know, it can have an effect on us where we feel as though we don't need the Lord. We don't need him to operate in and through our lives because our riches could bring us influence with people. Our riches could take us to places of great height and great importance and where people are beckoning for us and calling after us and those type of things. But the Lord is saying that makes it hard because when you have the wealth of this world, it can cause you to feel as though you don't need God. It can cause you to feel like you have everything that you need. Why would you need to walk by faith? Because you have money that can take care of everything that you need. But the reality is we're yet to be faith walkers. You know, no matter how much we gain in this world, this is why I said it's going to take humility because others may be impressed by what we have, by what we can do, by where we live, by what we drive, any of those things, by how you dress, by the titles that you may have, the title, the position. But God is saying our best is not good enough. Because what we have to understand is that everything we have comes from God, and it's a wonderful thing. I'm thankful that our best is not good enough because then it causes us to rely on God for everything. You remember the scriptures that says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Well, that's saying to us, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what position you hold, what title you carry, or how much people have confidence, how much they take confidence in you or your abilities. The thing is, God has gifted all of us. You know, our gifts and our talents and our abilities, they all come from God. But he wants us not to be dependent upon them because no matter what we do in and through them, it's not good enough in terms of operating in the kingdom of God. You know, when we operate in the world system, You know, those gifts come in handy. They do open doors for us. But there was something about these brothers here in Acts 4:13. When they began to speak and others beheld their boldness, it wasn't about just their abilities, but it was about something that the others who looked upon them were able to perceive. I want to share with you a song that kept coming to me today as I was meditating on what to share with you tonight. And it may be a song that you've heard before, but maybe not. But the song says, "I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me." And then it has a chorus. But that verse is what I was concentrating on today, because I said, well, Lord, how many of us really recognize that we have a river? Listen to me. We have a river of life deep down on the inside. If we're born of God and the Spirit of God resides in us, there's a river of life that is waiting to just flow out from us. I have a river of life flowing out of me. Why? So that people can just see me and build me up and, you know, take all at what I can do? No. But this river of life flowing out of me makes the lame to walk. That's the first thing. There's so many around us. We see them walking around, but the reality is they're lame. You know, they're walking around, but they're, in other words, they're going nowhere. It's almost as though they're walking, but their steps are not taking them to the destination that the Lord has ordained for their lives. They're lame when it comes to getting to the next station, the next phase, the next dimension of their lives wherein God has called them. So in this river of life that's flowing out of you and flowing out of me makes the lame to walk. You know, it washes over them and it brings healing. It washes over them and it gives direction. It brings strength to their bones, in other words, and it helps to solidify their steps. You know, their steps become ordered by this river of life that's flowing out of you and out of me. Makes the lame to walk. This thing caught me. This is a song, I'm telling you, that I heard years ago, and it struck me in a different way today. Makes the lame to walk, makes the blind to see. That is so powerful. That, Lord, you place something within us that can make the blind to see. Yes. He said, first of all, I want you to see. But you've got a river of life that the enemy wants to stop up and keep from flowing, because once that river gets loose, have you ever seen water just flowing? They're flowing. They're flowing. And once the water gets to flowing with power, it pulls along anything that's loose in the way. It'll pull it along with it. You know, it's hard to go against. Like the word says, it's hard to kick against the prick. It's hard to go against that tide. So we have a river of life flowing out of us that propels people toward the kingdom of God. You know, the deliverance that's in the kingdom of God makes the blind to see, pulls scales from eyes, washes away the residue that keeps people looking and seeing only the past and seeing failures. And as they open their eyes, they can only see the hurt. You know, as they rub their eyes, they're still seeing dimly, but not seeing that which God has ordained and put before them. But something about this river of life that's flowing out of us, it'll make the blind to see. God is saying, first I'm going to cause you to see. And once I cause you to see, there's a river of life flowing out of you, and others are going to be able to see. They're going to be able to see clearly. Yes, they're going to have direction. Makes the lame to walk, makes the blind to see. Watch this. Opens prison doors. Opens prison doors. And then what? Sets the captive free. Do you remember Jesus said he came? He came to set the captive free. This is why he came. So Jesus has placed that river of life within you and me, that will open prison doors and set the captive free. There are many today who are locked up, not physically, but they're bound and they're imprisoned. And oftentimes they're imprisoned by perhaps things that have been spoken over their lives, you know, or things that people have said about them, or situations that they've been through that have held them captive. But God is saying, if you'll allow this river to flow through you, it's not about you. What you have will never be good enough. But once the Spirit of God is loosed in our lives, he becomes a river of living water. You remember the scriptures talking about out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water? Well, it's not about just speaking in tongues. But a part of that is, and a great part, is what God wants to do in the lives of others. You remember Jesus speaking to them in Luke chapter 4 and 18 as he picked up the book and he spoke and he read, rather, from Isaiah, as the scripture says, Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord, Luke 4:18, is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." That's the same as to set the captive free. And so when you look there, Jesus knew his purpose. He came to set the captive free. Isaiah 61:1, this is what Luke 4:18 was really about and referencing. Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me." God has anointed you, my friend, to proclaim good news to the poor. This is not talking about the poor who are just out panhandling. It's talking about the poor who are poor in spirit, those who are seeking God but don't really know who or what it is they're seeking after. But we're to proclaim good news to the poor. You know, this is how the poor can say, "I'm rich," is because of what the Lord has done. He says, "The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." We bind up the broken heart tonight and to proclaim freedom for the captives, to let people know that, listen, you no longer have to be bound. Jesus has come. He has come to set the captives free, and whatever the enemy is using to hold you in that place and to keep you bound, just know that Jesus has already come. You know, he's already given the key to set you free. He has unlocked the prison doors, and you've been set free to proclaim freedom for the captives and what? Release from darkness for the prisoners. This is good news. It's great news. And this is what the enemy wants to keep us from. This is why he wants us to feel like our best foot forward is the best we can do for the Lord. Just put your best foot forward. Just do the best you can do. Stop patting people on the back and saying, "Just do the best you can do. You know, that's good. Just give God your best. Just do the best you can do." No, give God yourself, and he'll give you his best. He'll give you his spirit, because our best is never good enough. We fall short every time. But I tell you what, people will take note that you and I have been with the Lord when we recognize what it is that God has imparted into us, unto us. And this is a river of life, the Spirit of the living God, and he flows out of us. He gives us keen discernment. He gives us wisdom. He gives us the ability to set the captive free, to open prison doors. People are bound. People are in churches and bound. People are walking on your job and bound and lame. Do you understand? People are walking up and down the street seemingly knowing where they're going, but they're blind. And so God help us. God help us, because he's saying that I want you to recognize that I put something in you that is so powerful that if you'll allow me to move through you and recognize what it is, that it's more than a squirt. It's more than a fountain. It's a river of living water. It's a river of living water that's designed to flow out of you. And it has great power, power beyond whatever we're able to do. It's exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. I'm telling you, I've seen God move in ways that perhaps, you know, I didn't think possible. Have you done that? It's like, well, Lord, I'm praying. I'm even praying beyond what I feel like I could receive or fathom or grasp. And yet you see that thing manifested, and it does something deep down on the inside of you. Once you see the faithfulness of God and you're able to step outside of yourself and to believe God, for something greater than what you could do, what man could do, what the doctor could do, God himself has to do it when man says it's impossible. It's amazing what God will do. But he's saying, I want you to realize that your best isn't good enough. And I thank God for that, because it causes us to step into a place of faith and say, God, I bring nothing to you that's enough for the kingdom, but I believe that you're going to give me more than enough. You're going to endow me with power from on high. So I say to you tonight, every gift, every talent, every ability that you possess, yes, it comes from God, and it's good, and it's to be used for God's kingdom and for his glory. But that's not what it is that helps us to navigate through this earth realm in a spiritual way. That opens doors for us, but it's the power of God that comes upon us and does for us and for others what only he can do. Our gift may get us in the door, but it's the power of God that's going to set men and women free. Just know that tonight. Once you get in the door, then what will we do? We've got to go beyond ourselves. Thank you, God, for opening the door. Thank you, God, that our best isn't good enough. Thank you, Lord, that it's your spirit who makes the difference. We've got a river of life flowing out of us tonight. I'm so grateful for that. Hallelujah. A river of life flowing out of us makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captive free. You have a river of life flowing out of you tonight. Aren't you glad about it? Listen, our time is up. We're out of time tonight, but not out of word. I just wanted to encourage your heart on tonight. Know what it is that God has blessed you with, but not only what you possess, but who possesses you, the Spirit of the living God. You're blessed tonight, and you can't be cursed, and we thank God for that. God bless you. Join us again next Monday at 7:30. For when passion meets purpose. In the meantime, and it may be a meantime, but we'll be blessing God for you. We'll be thanking God for who he is and for what he's yet to do in our lives. Amen. Have a wonderful evening. God bless you.